Far across the land and sea, Utu, Utubi, Aguna. 5,000 miles away, a few Arsenal Bangalore fans come together to discuss all things Arsenal. Welcome to the Bangalore Gooners podcast.
Like they say, the grass is always greener on the other side. As we look back on the season so far, we've seen other teams and individual players also perform better than some or most of the players at Arsenal. Welcome to episode 6 of the Bangalore Gooners podcast. We have Vivek, Vinay, Jomi and Anko with us today. And we'll be talking about players who you wish to be replaced with. We will focus on only teams or clubs from the Premier League. We will see what players we wish we had in our team. So this is a personal opinion. I mean, we only the guests and we talk about our opinion on the player so far. And we will also discuss, we have received a couple of questions on our social media platforms. We'll also take those or some of those at the end. All right, we'll jump in straight. Before this recording, I was, my mind was going back to the games, previous season games. And one thing, that struck me was one of the game that we played against Southampton, where Fraser Foster, I believe, the keeper, he was having an extremely good game. And we always say whenever teams or clubs play against Arsenal, they play like peak Barcelona, and all the goalkeepers turn into Manuel Neuer or someone. So he was having an extremely good game. Since then, I think he has declined and even out of the team, out of the playing 11, I think. So starting with goalkeeper, Bernd Leno. I personally believe he's a very good showstopper. He has been found out a couple of times in the air and also, playing out from the back. So are there other goalkeepers in the Premier League that you wish to replace Bernd Leno with? Share your thoughts.
So for me, I would say that Leno has been a find for us. I know towards the tail end of the season there were a few mistakes that came out, but he was by far probably our best player this season, if not for Aubameyang. So are there better players in the Premier League? Sure. At goalkeeper, but I wouldn't think we need to replace him anytime soon. I think there's a lot of potential there. He's still young, and goalkeepers speak way later. So if this is just something of what a lot more he has in store, then we should absolutely retain him.
I think if we are looking at in terms of replace, then I agree to Vivek. I don't think so. We need to replace Leno. We want anybody who is better than him in the team, of course, we would want to. Who is the best goalkeeper currently in the Premier League? I don't know. Everybody will say the teams who are fighting the relegation are the ones who face the most shots. So goalkeeper, those teams probably are likely to be considered better than, let's say, an Alisson, because he may not be having much to do because he's got a front defense which is doing a great job for him. So if you are the team of this podcast is again in terms of, do we want to replace Leno with somebody? Then my answer is no. I think Arsenal are good in terms of the goalkeeping, playing 11 start. Leno for me stays. I wouldn't replace him with any of the goalkeepers that is currently there in the Premier League.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned the relegation teams, right? So they face a lot of shots, and obviously those goalkeepers have much more work to do than when you compare a team in the top half or even the top 2-3 teams. But again, do you think the way these teams play, attract the pressure and then, sit back, all these come into equation when you define how good a goalkeeper is?
I think the goalkeeper is something that a lot of... It's not the glamour role, right? I mean, I think this episode, especially when talking about goalkeepers, we should have had Arshad. He's one who always likes the goalkeepers more than anybody else in the team. He being one earlier whenever he used to play. But I would say relegation threatened teams or teams that come up from the championship, the one thing that they want to do is survive. And the only way they can survive, most teams, I know a lot of clubs earlier, like say Leeds try to do it by trying to outplay teams. Or the Tigers tend to try to do it. Hull City try to do it once. Or maybe Wigan as well. But realistically, the only way they can survive is by defending. They try to win their home games and go away and not lose bad. And not draw here and not draw there, a point here, a point there. That's how they survive. So I think goalkeepers of those clubs know what they are going to get into. The whole season they are going to face a lot. And they that's why I think some of the investments that these clubs do primarily are either for a striker or for a goalkeeper. I may be wrong, but I think that is what they focus on, survival.
Blackpool in the Premier League under Ian Holloway, they didn't depend on defence or goalkeeper. They just wanted to play beautiful football and try and stay up. But yeah, that doesn't really work, I guess, when you're when you've just been newly promoted. There has to be some level of pragmatism.
Yeah, Blackpool first half of the season when they came, they were really great. Jamie Bullard and all those guys. But then I think they got relegated in the second half of the, based on the second half. So yeah, it's all nice gung-ho at the start, but it really doesn't work for an entire season. Very lucky if you get through that.
Whenever we sign a player, right? So we all have, of course, we support whoever is incoming, but we will have a say or opinion on whether it's a good signing or a bad signing or, you know, just an average one. I distinctively remember Jomi not, you know, fully appreciative of the fact when we signed Petr. Like, when do you know that you want to replace a goalkeeper? Jomi, your thoughts on that?
I mean, definitely when somebody is making mistakes, right? So our team at those times were the youth, and I think we had a decent one in Szczesny. So yeah, I personally didn't want him to leave. He should have been given more chances. Maybe the manager was not able to manage his tantrums. I'm not sure what the reasons were, but yeah, Petr Cech. I'm not saying he is not good. All I'm saying is Chelsea didn't want him because they got a replacement and he was almost end of his career. And I thought that was a luxury to have having him also in the team. Today, Leno is decent enough for our team. If you're looking at are there goalkeepers to replace him? Yeah, definitely the top keepers in the league. But he's young, he's learning. So I'm not too worried about the keeper position.
Right. So you mentioned Wojciech Szczesny. Very happy birthday to him. I think Ankur will have some comments on Szczesny. Ankur?
Yeah, even I didn't want Szczesny to leave. I still feel it was one of the transfers which I was very sad about when Szczesny left. But this is what football is. Player comes and player goes. Having said that, I'll agree to everyone here. I think Leno is doing a pretty decent job. And he's young. He learned. This was his first full season as the Premier League goalkeeper. So yeah, I think we are pretty okay as of now with the goalkeeper spot. There shouldn't be any changes.
Yeah, so I think in one of our earlier podcasts, we discussed about the squad in general, where I think when I mentioned about the sweeper-keeper role, it takes a lot of confidence to, you know, play out from the back. You have to have confidence or faith in the defenders. And unfortunately, I mean, they've not showcased much confidence in their ability or the style of play that we've been playing. So the mistakes that he has committed, Bernd Leno, that is. So some of them may be directly related to those factors. But yeah, they peak you know, relatively later than other players. And he's young. He's had a decent season so far, like Vivek mentioned, just behind Aubameyang. And I think he'll only get
better. I had
better.
A question to the group. United are looking at most likely, I mean, Real Madrid want him, but hypothetically, just a yes or no from the group. Would we replace Leno with De Gea?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Yes. I would say no.
Yes.
Yes.
From me, yes.
Yeah, but Madrid is not looking at buying him, I guess.
I mean, United do have, I think, looking at goalkeepers, maybe not Madrid. But yeah, just a yes. I think unanimously was yes. Did anyone say no?
Me.
Okay.
I would also say no. There are two reasons. One, personally, maybe because... I mean, I don't know if United would sell to us, but I would not want someone from United. That's just a personal opinion. But two, he has had...
Sorry.
When you take the number of mistakes, if you will, if you see those mistakes that are committed by, you know, say, a Bird Leno and a De Gea, De Gea has, you know, committed a lot of howlers, okay? He is, but Leno is not still there up at De Gea's level. Of course, De Gea is a world-class goalkeeper. There's no debate on that. But I would rather give Leno a chance, see his improvement, and then do whatever that we got to do. So that's a no for me. Yeah, to be honest, that is a fair assessment. You know, playing for the national team, you know, recognizes a player at the very highest level as well. Moving on, defenders. We will start with the fullbacks. We have signed Tierney. So comments on that?
If you consider your club to be really big, I mean, which we are, we definitely need players that start for the national team. There's no second thoughts about it. I mean, if we have a player that does not get to feature for the national team, which means there are better players, right? And we've got that next breed or the next level of players. So for any position that you take. So, I mean, if they do well for the club, I mean, there are a lot of players that do a lot better for the club and not for the national team. That's a different story altogether. But, I mean, Leno, now he's doing fine, but can he be replaced by top keepers? I mean, I wouldn't mind him being replaced. But even the top clubs like United, City, Chelsea, I don't think they have a huge strong squad of goalkeepers. That the first keeper is decent, but the second and the third is not that great. So we probably need to have a little more. I mean, I know Vinay likes Martinez, but for some reason I think we need more than Leno a replacement for our second choice.
Tierney, I don't think he should be replaced now. He just joined us, hasn't played even a single season with us. Has whichever handful of games he has played, he has shown a lot of positives. So, yeah, I think Dennis stays.
Pretty much what Ankur said. But I think there needs to be some kind of assessment on how Tierney's fitness levels. If he's going to be one of those players who can't put in 25 to 30 games at least a season, because that's the bare minimum for anyone that's playing in the back four, then we should replace. In terms of what he potentially brings, no, we don't need to look at replacing him. But yeah, there is a caveat there.
What about Kolasinac?
Sell him now, please.
All right, sold. Who would you replace?
I mean, it doesn't matter. He's not a left back. We have told this 100 times. Okay, as if we get a choice. Do we get Trent Arnold by any chance? Can we?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask like for like, the Liverpool fullbacks are the best fullbacks in the league. Maybe Walker, on his day, is the only competition for the right back. I may not be knowing all the 20 teams as well as maybe others. But realistically, Kolasinac replaced in a fantasy 11, I will replace him with Trent Arnold any given day. He's brilliant.
Where does Lundstrom play by any chance? Does he play left or does he play right? Or Sheffield?
Lundstrom's right. Right back. I mean, again, he plays wing back, not right back. So,
Vinay, you covered our entire, your wish to replace our entire fullback.
I would wait to see how Pablo Mari turns out. I'm hoping Saliba is good as well, but there's not much argument to be there. We need a pretty much a new back four. I think Pablo Mari can still be considered a new player. So yeah, entire backline ideally needs to get replaced. I David Luiz one more season. Yeah, we can keep him, senior player.
No. Not David Luiz. Whatever Vinay said about Kolasinac, I have the same exact feedback for David Luiz. Sell him now.
Yeah, no one's going to buy him. He's got 1 year on his contract. So I think we are stuck with him. So we have to deal with keeping him. That's the only reason. Otherwise, yeah, the entire backbone needs to be replaced. We're getting Saliba and Mari back. I don't know what's happening with Pamecano. I think his name is. Yeah. United apparently are going to trigger his release clause now. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But we should just see if we can get one of those Brighton centre backs. Lewis Dunk, we were linked to at some point last season. It was 40 million last season. This season, they're going to say 60 million. That is simply the going price now for defenders. But yeah, we should look to improve Premier League defender.
Yeah, I'll just stop you right there. I'll go back to the previous analogy or explanation, whatever, that Vinay told about. When you look at the goalkeeper situation zone, they take a lot of shots and they naturally tend to, you know, be involved in more action. So does this hold good for defenders as well? Like you mentioned, I'm a big fan of someone like Lewis Dunk from Brighton. But that did not turn out the same way for someone like a Harry Maguire after he went to United. So I
think there are two ways to look at it. There are some that don't work, but some players that have moved from, let's say, a bottom six club to a top six or a top four or a top eight clubs. We have examples like Robertson for Liverpool. He was what, at Hull, I think. I'm not sure, but how good a player has he turned out to be? Then there's an example of us where we signed Chambers and that's not worked out. We got him from Southampton, but that's far from worked out. And there's Gary Cahill, the almighty example for Chelsea. He ensured they won the Champions League the season he moved, and we could have got him if we were okay with paying £500 extra the previous winter break. I think it was during the winter window. So yeah, I think there's definite potential there to sign from the bottom six clubs. But I think there's more hits than failures though.
Anjan, if you go by this podcast and if you're looking at, I mean, this is basically a fantasy kind of a thing, replacements. I mean, to answer the first part of your question, I think the personnel is just poor. It's not that the defense is not shoring up because of collective mistakes. It's just individual mistakes. They got mistakes written all over all the defenders we currently have. So I don't think so. And if you ask, who can I replace? Can we buy him? I mean, can Liverpool sell him to us, please? Van Dijk? He's winning them the damn league. He's won them the Champions League.
No, do you honestly think one such player would, you know, completely
Absolutely,
change the
yes.
dynamics?
Sol Campbell is the primary example. We did not have a bad back four that time. You do remember. The kind of players we had, he replaced quite literally Martin Keown. So you are saying me that one player will not have that kind of an impact? Van Dijk to this team, Van Dijk plays for any team in this world, he will have an impact.
Okay, so
he should have bought it.
So Vinay, we wouldn't have brought him for 75, but the point is, over the last 4-5 years, right, we've changed a lot of these back for the defenders. We've been cribbing for players. I mean, there are some positions that's not been touched. Let's not even go there. But a lot of these players have been changed. I'm sorry, if I ask this question, it becomes a hijack of the topic today. But irrespective of the players that are coming in, I mean, these are players who have done reasonably good in other teams, okay? Except barring a couple. But they tend to do the same mistakes that we've been doing in the last 7-8 years. I mean, so I do not know if it is going to be a player-player issue or is it even beyond that. So, I mean, we've got... I mean, see, this theory can be only proven wrong if we actually buy good players. And unfortunately, I don't think we, in the near future, we are buying the best players out there in the market, right? Because we can't compete with the top clubs and their money. I've seen the defense doing the same mistakes again and again and again. So, irrespective of the number of players that has changed, we need changes, but we also probably need changing to the coaching. But in the back four, we need replacement or an additional right back. We just got one, but we need better right backs. That's the only point I have. Otherwise,
so what you're suggesting is the system also played its part, and I agree the system played its part, but realistically, you and all of us here have been watching Arsenal from close to what, 12-15 years, more than that, me and you. When was the last, after, let's say, Sol Campbell, we really bought a proper defender? And defenders are priceless. You will say, I mean, if we consider Kojendly world class, which he was for maybe 2 to 3 years at his peak, but other than that, we have hardly invested in defense. And unless we do that, signings in the Premier League, if you remember, Ferguson blew the top off by paying, what, 29, 30 million for Rio Ferdinand. He got a bargain of Vidic for 7 million. Those are big numbers even then we are talking of. So, whoever you look at, Mourinho built his teams on defenses. Wenger wouldn't, and we all know why. He would invest on his midfield and attackers. But unless, I can't think of any, please do suggest any of you. Who was the last
centre back? Even when we had even when we had Kola Touré, right? I mean, he seemed to be fine, right? I mean, correct. I mean, it's after that things just changed.
I agree. Touré was. But again, Touré was, what did we pay? A million, maybe? I mean, in terms of an investment I'm talking of, unless you buy that personnel, and in today's world where I think defenders play the most crucial role for the entire team, we would need to. We should make a statement. I know we can discuss this. Go for a Varane. He has his mistakes, but he is off the pecking order at Real. Take the gamble. We knew Van Dijk had the knee injury history, but Liverpool took the gamble. We played safe, and the rest, as they say, is history.
No, I'm not sure the gamble was because of the knee injury or because of, you know, what
we
fit in his pocket.
Him.
So
we clearly remember we scouted Van Dijk when was he in his Celtic days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Celtic. Yeah, sure with
it. Yeah, so I mean, let's look at realistic. How about the Turkish player in Leicester? Whatever his name is.
Soyuncu, brilliant example.
Soyuncu.
French is Soyuncu?
He's Turkish.
Turkish. Yeah, European market, great example. 7 million?
It's not like you're hijacking the topic, but we will focus only on defenders and who we are going to replace with. So, like Vinay rightly said, Soyuncu is a great example to start with, of course. I would say yes, if you want any of our center backs to to be replaced with him, yeah, definitely, why not? But no to Van Dijk, simply because there's the option of affordability, and that will never happen. So I would have someone like a Soyuncu, but then again, once he is sold to an English club, and he will not be sold back at the same price or even then thereabouts, the prices will again rocket. But yeah, that player is someone that I will have in the team. And Walker, like when I mentioned, is he was again sold to, say, close to 50 million, I believe. So again, that is also not a realistic option, I would say. We could target someone from a Sheffield or a Wolves team, and that would be a great option.
How is Lewis Dunk from Brighton? Those are realistic options, right? I mean, you don't have to spend 75. You don't have to break the bank to get these kind of players. I mean, there are players. It's just that, I mean, it's not our job to do scouting, right? I mean, but then there are players. I don't know what people look for, but there are definitely players. I mean, even Atletico Madrid, they had that Uruguayan player. But then he's gone down the... The new kid. But he's gone down the pecking order last season. But he was decent. I mean, they're good. It's just that how you get the right players into the team. And you don't need to spend a lot of money. I mean, there are a lot of options.
Yeah, like Wenger rightly said, I'm sorry he didn't cost 50 million, so we cannot talk about it.
But I still think a signing, just to answer Ranjan, and I keep telling the same, we needed one marquee signing. I'm not saying just now. The marquee signings were all attackers, and I know we love to see them. Who wouldn't love an Ozil or an Aubameyang in their team? It was all nice, but retrospectively, a marquee centre back would have probably, I don't know what, worked for us big time. I don't think so. We ever replaced Campbell. We talk about Vieira.
Oh yeah. We've not replaced that team, right? So yeah. that's another problem.
Yeah.
So I don't think that team can be replaced anyways. So Jose Jimenez. So I was talking about him. I think he's gone down the pecking order now. But I mean, those are kids for the future. I mean, you can even get them on. Rather than buying some unknown player for less money at 16 years old, God knows if his leg will break in 2 years or not. I mean, I'm being very rude, but the point is you buy proven, even youngsters, you get them. This is why I said I'm hijacking the topic, because this is very, it's passionate coming out talking about this. You buy these players, even if they are young, in 1-2 years, they will note that they're going to replace, unless they've been playing for the national team. And likes of Jimenez and these Turkish players, I mean, they will definitely get into the starting 11 of Arsenal in a year's time after they blend in. I mean, I was just giving examples. It's not that we should be buying them, but just giving examples.
Soyuncu was a brilliant example, seriously.
Scouts just need to do a Google search and get these player names, and then just go ahead and watch them for a few games, and then just sign them. Yeah.
Or better yet, they could listen to our podcast and that's all.
Yes,
we could do it. We would even scout the Spanish La Liga and get them the players. Right, so fullbacks, right? Again, we discussed this in the previous podcast, the curious case of Hector Bellerin. Is there a decline? Is this the rustiness due to the injury? There are some ridiculous controversial topics also where the vegan diet that he has adopted is also, pointed out. So,
oh, he's very good.
Yeah,
Dunk United, I would have him. United or Chelsea, I'm not sure. The hope is Bellerin's is rustiness, as you said. The reality is, Vivek mentioned this a couple of podcasts earlier, we probably will not see him at his real best ever again. Again, is he a right back? That itself remains the question. He again is your wing back. He has more attacking instincts in him than defensive. And we are talking outright defenders here. So, do we replace him? Yeah, send us a Robertson and we will. I don't think so. We'll be left with a choice. He's very popular. People said he could be captain here. And not here, meaning a lot of Arsenal faithful say he could be captain. Just because he talks a lot about Arsenal, wears his heart on his sleeve. But he should never be the captain for me. Yeah, please replace if we get somebody. And I think there is somebody from, again, the Spanish league. Because there, it's only the playing 11 who keep getting played again and again. Because they don't change their playing 11 as often as the Premier League managers tend to do. So maybe scout them or the Italian league.
One more player that came to my mind was Nathan Ake. Ankur, you might want to weigh in on that.
He's good.
Nathan Ake is good. I think if you would have asked me this question probably two seasons back, I would have said yes. But after seeing his recent performances for Bournemouth, I am little off the charts, I feel. Nathan Ake, maybe not. I think I would rather keep, say, a Socrates or the David Luiz also in
you,
my team.
You haven't watched.
Yeah, two seasons back, he was in his diapers.
No, he has been playing for Bournemouth.
I don't know. I honestly do not know which is his position, because I think he was playing different for Chelsea. Right? He was at Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he hardly played for Chelsea.
I think he keeps getting played out of position. A lot of teams that he was part of. But he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, one thing why I brought his name up was because I got reminded of Nacho Monreal, right? So Nathan Ake also plays a left back, I believe, and then he also drops in at centre back. So do we also need to look at such players, and are there any such, you know, similar players in the Premier League, if you remember?
Ake is a very good example. He's a left back, plays centre back, and plays in an expansive Bournemouth team who tends to play from the back. Eddie Howe tends to play his teams in that mode of or that system where he wants players to play from the back. So if at all Mikel Arteta's way of looking at his system, he's possessional tiki-taka or playing from the back, Ake suits. He's a utility player and he's quick. All the hallmarks of modern day Premier League fullback. Chelsea will get him back. He's on loan, I believe. I don't think so. It's a full-time sale. He's sold?
No, he's full-time. Full-time sold.
Mistake.
Yeah. He's sold to Bournemouth.
I think Ake will be very good. I don't know what kind of money he will be expected. But yeah, he is someone who can play two positions, but he's a left-back predominantly.
Another interesting thought here. A player, someone like Nathan Ake, I mean, playing for a mid-table club or a table in the bottom half of the league table, when they move up to, say, the top, right? So, are there, again, more hits than misses, or is it the other way around? Because recently, the case of Aaron Van Bissaka, he moved from Palace. He was touted as, you know, the best right back in the league or the world or whatever the United fans called him, but he has not turned out the way they expected him to.
I mean, that's obvious because of how that stupid team is playing. So if, I mean
so go on, it's okay.
I don't think it's you've not seen him. I mean, he shows his glimpses once in a while, but you got to see if when the team gels together, that team is still not sure if they know what they're doing. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, you could have that case in, you know, see, this is where the problem is, right? So these examples come only for these big clubs, and like for example, Mahrez for City. You don't see him playing very often, but whenever he plays, he ends up with an assist, he ends up with some goals. He doesn't seem to be very happy. And probably there's a reason why he doesn't start every game, right? So when a lot of promised players go to big clubs, there's a lot of players in those big teams that can perform. So one game you don't perform, you're out of the team. So it's a little hard on these players too.
I mean, if you ask the Twitter managers, right? So they dig out stats, and apparently the stats also say that Ainsley Maitland-Niles has been better than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So
it all also boils down to the fact that it always gets evaluated against money. Wan-Bissaka was paid quite a high amount. I don't know how much were they paid. So it always gets evaluated like that. I think you mentioned Harry Maguire, right, once? Saying like,
correct.
Oh, is he a success or a failure at United? you hold that price tag and say 80 million, he's not a success simply because based on United's league position right now. But I don't think so. He's a bad defender. He is not going to be one. The problem is the comparison. Dijk and an 80 million Maguire, and Maguire can't be a Van Dijk. Neither can Van Dijk be Maguire. They have their own strengths. So evaluation needs to be done with a little bit of common sense. So Van Bissaka versus Niles is, I don't think so, it's the right way to look at it. Niles is more like a central midfielder, deep lying, and not a right back. Van Bissaka is a proper right back.
So, I mean, don't you think that holds good for Arsenal as well? And the price tag, we have not splurged a lot on centre back. Although I believe the dialogue should be that we need to spend more, and on that area.
If the results were to be seen and we were to be, like, say, challenging for the league, of course, fantastic things that we have achieved. We are ninth in the league, looking like winning the league, like we all concurred a few podcasts back. So, no, I don't think so. There is value for money in any of the centre-backs or the full-backs that we have signed, or the current 11 that we have. Yes, William Saliba, Mari, we will keep comments aside for them because we haven't seen them play.
I mean, you guys are willing to have those two, the names that you mentioned, William Saliba and Pablo Mari, as the first choice centre-backs, or...
If you are looking at William Saliba, yes, he is going to be your first choice centre-back. He is touted to be the next big thing. So, he is going to be there. One name I wanted to throw in and wanted to ask the same way I asked about De Gea was Upamecano. So, I think we were being said that we are willing to pay that kind of money for him for Barcelona. I really wanted to know if you guys want to have him.
Look, I am not even sure if we do, if we have that kind of a money, and if we did, would we spend it on the player that you mentioned, or would it be used to, I don't know, retain somebody's contract or extend someone's contract? I'm not really sure if we are in that position to splurge on a centre back, but I don't know. I mean, our business model has changed, right? So we are paying in installments. So, if it works out that way with, I think, where is he? Red Bull Leipzig, I guess. So, if it works out with them, I think, why not?
I think we should spend on the centre-back, simple. Even after paying whatever money we need to Saint-Etienne for Saliba. I think you still need one more.
How is Mings, Aston Villa player? Tyrone Mings, right?
Tyrone Mings was touted to be the next John Terry. I think we scouted him also. Okay.
Was he one more loan deal from Chelsea?
No.
He came from a championship team, I believe.
He's with Aston Villa, I think.
Before that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good. I mean, that's a decent name. I don't see why we can not go
again,
for him.
Again, a national player. National team player. So,
how about someone like a Kurt Zouma?
No. Hasn't done anything substantial at Chelsea. Also, right? Really didn't set the world on fire. Except he scored against us. That's about it.
Yeah, he did. I think everybody does. Looks like the majority of us, not only here in the podcast, but the general consensus of Arsenal fans is that our defensive line is not good enough. And I think the league table recent performances are, attest to that fact. Only Bernd Leno survives the cull, I believe. And I hope, we'll see in the future, and I hope we improve, and I think defensive wise, and I think that will bring a lot of confidence to the players going forward. So on that line, last week we had asked questions on our social media platforms for users to share their suggestions, feedbacks, and questions to be discussed. So we've picked a couple of questions in line. I'm going to ask in line with the current context. So this one's from Hariharan on Twitter. So it's a two-part question. What do you guys think about Arteta's game plan and formation so far? This one, I think we've discussed in a previous podcast, the episode where we discussed entirely about Arsenal under Arteta. So I'm going to drop it there. The second part of his question is fullback's contribution in attack so far. So first of all, Hariharan, thanks for writing to us. So guys, fullback's contribution in attack so far. Do we, if we sign a replacement to the backups we have, assuming Tiny starts as the first choice left back and assuming Hector Bellerin is all fit and ready to go, the backups, do you think that we should sign someone with the fullback's contribution in attack in mind, or it should be, you know, someone purely defensive?
Yes, I think Lucas Digne, we can sign him. He's one player who I have kind of liked in Everton. He's someone who goes up to the pitch as well and contributes quite a lot with his crosses. So yeah, Lucas Digne can be someone who can be looked into.
Why are we looking at signing? I think left back, as you said, Tierney and Saka. Right back, Bellerin and Sors. So I don't think so we are looking at it. We may want to, but I don't think so we are looking at having anything added to the fullbacks.
Correct. So fullbacks contribution in attack. So I mean, just right at the top of my head, all of these names except for Suarez, who I have not seen, we have not seen rather. The others are very good going forward. So, and I think that is, I mean, do you think that is something that Arteta is trying to build on?
So his question is more on how the fullbacks' contribution to our attacks have been, right? Our fullbacks just lose space when they need to be attacking. I mean, if we are an attacking team, we need pace. And unfortunately, our team have players that can't pace themselves. I do not know what the reason is. And I believe that's one reason why with the shift left back, the new kid on the block, what he brings in is, he's got class, he's doing things right, but at the same time he's got pace too, and that makes a lot of difference. And he is taking that pace that he has got and bringing in that change. He's able to move forward. He's able to leave a few players, opponents back, and then trying to get his crosses in or his passes in, and that sometimes clicks. And when that doesn't happen, or somebody blocks the player. Now, if the opposition team tends to stop his runs, cuts his pace down with block and all that other stuff, that's when he probably flees. So when a left back is not doing good, the right back needs to do good. I don't know if we have more than three games in a row that we have the left and the right back playing at full swing for the club in so many years. So that's how I look at it.
I think the fitness level are not there, basically speaking. Fullback roles in modern day football is like a 90 minute non-stop Duracell. And I don't think so we have the fitness levels of any of our fullbacks at that optimum for us to hope that what it turns out to be. Yes, Saka has so far been the exception. But yeah, if fullbacks contributing to our attack, basically the fitness levels are not there for them to be there game in, game out.
The fullbacks thing, I actually kind of disagree to some of the things that were said. I think defensively and in terms of stability from Xhaka and back, we've gotten better since Arteta has come in. So I think there's some coaching aspect to it. We are not playing a basketball kind of game anymore, at least where we are having to deal with 25 shots for Leno to save against Watford. I think the number of shots we've conceded also has reduced quite a bit. In terms of how much the fullbacks contribute to attack, our style of play as of now has a very left-sided bias. It all comes down via Saka swing. We will kind of need to wait and see if maybe Suarez is the one, I don't know, or if we're going to sign another right back to understand if Arteta's style is to have both fullbacks doing that, or if it's always going to have one tuck into midfield to provide extra cover to the center backs and have the left side of the pitch go gung ho. So I think it's something we'll have to wait and see. We discussed at the start of the pod that the back post entirely changed. Saka's probably going to be better off as a left winger if he's this good with attack coming off the back. One can only hope how good he'll be if that's the main thing he has to focus on. So
rightly said. If you ask me my opinion, the fullbacks have been, you know, another source of the creativity, because we have not seen much from the center of the park, right? We have creative players, but they have not turned out as creative as we expect them. So that is another outlet. Fullbacks have been another outlet for creation of chances. And like you mentioned, I think there is a ploy where we are involving the right back the fullbacks in the attacks going forward. But then again, it begs the question, do we have the fitness levels to last for an entire game? Something I think we will be working on. We also have another question, Sai Vivek. Again, a two-part question. Do we think we as a team can develop as good as Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp in, say, a 3-4 years under Arteta? Who do we need to sign to achieve it? This has been discussed in the first half of this podcast. We all opine that the entire back line needs to be revamped, if I can use that word. But like Vinay mentioned, I think Van Dijk has been that, I would say, the sole factor in marking their return to form after all those years, especially under Jurgen Klopp. I think with better defensive player, we can certainly improve. Whether we can be as good as Liverpool, I mean, that's just there to see after, say, two, three seasons, I believe.
I will say no. Reason being, Klopp came to win the league. We are here to be in the top four. So that changes the dimensions completely. And why I say that comment is because we are not going to be spending that kind of money to get that right set of people to fix the system to win the league. We will be spending money to get the players to fit the system to be in the top four. And if we are lucky, and if other clubs are in a bad run of games, then we will try to win the league from by some luck. I don't think any of these things are going to change. So I don't see us winning the league very soon unless we are changing our transfer process.
I think for the most part, I agree with what Jomi said. The only thing that I would like to add is I think there's a lot of promise with Arteta. He's had, 5 months and of pretty miserable transfer window, and then the world's come to a standstill after that. But I think there is definitely some promise there. But the question is something like, okay, can the invincibles be replicated again? It's very difficult to answer, right? So there's no way to give it a hard yes or a no. But I think we definitely have a better chance to be successful in 3 years' time under someone like Arteta than probably we would have had if Emery had continued, because simply put, the fans didn't buy into his football. And if you lose the fans in any football club, you're not really going to survive. And Arteta has a grace period. I think he has one more season of grace period, Paul, because the fans have bought into whatever he's trying to tell us and the style of play he's trying to get the team to play and his communication and all those things. So yeah, I think there's hope. Whether we can replicate what Klopp has done, we'll have to wait and see. Again, I've been saying this for a while, he's not won the Premier League yet. He's been there for 4 seasons and there's 2 defeats in 2 finals and he's won the Champions League, sure. But if we're always going to say everything is about how many cups you win, he's not Liverpool's greatest manager by any means, right? So
I think my answer to that is a mix of both. Klopp himself said Arsenal are sorted with their attack, defense. So he himself knows that, and you are hearing from the horse's mouth as a comparison if you are looking at Liverpool. I think the buys, one thing we know for sure going forward, it will be Arteta's signings. Arteta has a clear mind on what he wants to achieve here. Has he been told top four? Has he been told the league? That's something we may not be privy about. Of course, right now, everyone knows that our primary aim is to get back to the top four. But the signings will definitely be an indication of what we are trying to do. Obviously, the coming season, whenever it starts, will be somehow get back to the top four. So let's wait for an year more. I think Mikel will be here. And then I do sense a little bit of positive intent in terms of what may happen in the next 3 years. Are we going to be at Liverpool? Let's wait when Liverpool lose their players and then we will see. But I think we will be competing for the league after 3 years. 3 years, we'll be working towards it.
I would agree with Jomi completely. I mean, I am pretty sure that we are not looking at winning the league. Our primary aim now is to finish top four and play the Champions League. So, yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Anyone is going to tell that we are looking for winning the league. Nobody is going to say that. But even a top four right now is tough. So I think this season is going to be top four. We can't win the league from ninth. We can win from fourth. So it's fairly obvious.
Leicester won the league from 17th.
That's before the start of the season. When the season started, they did not start from 17th and finish winning the league.
No, I'm talking about next season only.
I don't think so. Anybody is going to say that we are going to win the league.
I don't know if Arteta is going to be given a lot of time. I mean, definitely the club will give. Definitely Arteta wants to be given time by himself. Going by what has happened with what how the fans reacted to Wenger towards the end of his career, I don't think people are going to spend 3 years waiting for Arteta to deliver. We need to get into the top four, and then once we get in the top four, the next thing is, can we get the league? I mean, that's going to be the question. So are we going to take 3 years to get in the top four? No, I don't think so. So because next year, if you don't get the top four, I don't think Arteta will be there in 2 years' time. I mean, see, this all hypothesis, if and buts. The problem today is fans want to see change. And why does fans want to see change? Fans want to see Arsenal win the league. I mean, if any fan says, no, I don't want to see, it's not about that. That's not the reason. It's because it's been quite a while since we've won something. And that's the reason why fans are being very desperate. I mean, and it's always obvious. You really don't want to be talking about how competitive Arsenal is. Look at the playing style. We play like Barcelona. That's not what we want to talk about. We want to talk about how many cups we are winning. You know, how we winning against the top clubs in the Champions League and things like that. And as long as we are not able to do that, the fans are going to get frustrated. So I don't know if Arteta is going to get 3 years' time unless he proves everybody wrong and then starts getting awesome results from next year, which I don't mind.
I just had one point to add to that. So I think it's different with Arsenal fans. I think what the fans want is they want good football and success. So because the times that we did win big games under Emery, no one is really raving about it. No one talks about us beating Chelsea and United in the same season at home now, because we didn't play football the way majority of the fans want us to play. So whatever Jomi said, I think applies to 8 out of probably 10 clubs. But with Arsenal, I think the fans are
disappointed. I think the one thing that I want to add to that in terms of the situation with Mikel, I don't see the board sacking him. Arteta may want to leave after a couple of years, saying that I tried my best. The only way that can happen is if there is a sudden availability of a manager who is going to be someone who promises, like say, oh, he's the one who could deliver us something. Liverpool did that. It was not like they just had Klopp and they just ran to him and he said yes. Klopp's availability after the Dortmund fiasco he went through was obvious. Liverpool acted quick and they got him. It was a win-win for them. I don't think so. The board will sack Mikel. Mikel may leave, or we just may be having a situation where the board tells Mikel, okay, here is your opportunity. You can go because we've got somebody else. And he may also have an opportunity because I think Arteta is a good coach. He is going to be good wherever he goes.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, right? I mean, he does well. I mean, there are a lot of clubs that would want to buy him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, want to take him. So, see, that's where the irony is. I always link a lot of these things to off the pitch activity. And we don't do off the pitch activity quite well at the club. And what do I know about management or managing a club? I would say nil. But I'm just saying out what I see, right? So we need our transfer windows to do well. We need better players to be brought in. We need better sponsors in. And a lot of this gets linked to how the coach feels he's valued at the club, right? So he gets his players, he gets the results. There's nothing like it. Everything just will be forgotten, and we'll be looking forward. I mean, we get the top four. Once you get the top four, you're as a fan. Now there's hope, right? Okay, we've got the top four. Yes, he can deliver. Add a couple more players, we could do even better. So that's always that hope that a fan has. So you get the top four, then you're thinking, yes, league or something else. But if you're struggling and things don't change, then the cribbing starts. And if you've seen half the stadium is just dead. There's a few seats that are empty. I mean, they don't turn up. It's not empty. It's always sold out, but people don't turn up. The season ticket holders and the rest is they lose their voice as soon as a goal goes in. And I wish that changes.
I think there's some hope though with Arteta, and there's this football trio that we have in management in terms of Sanyahi, Idu, and Hasfami, I think, for the persons. So yeah, we've been showing the willingness to go out and get decent deals done. We've been selling better than we ever used to. So let's see. Hopefully the next two or three windows will do a lot of good things for us.
All right, there you go. That was part one of who you would replace your players with. We will also talk about the midfielders and the center. The midfielders and the attacking fielders, attacking players in our next episode of the podcast. So do listen. Thank you for joining. This is Anjan signing off.
Thank you for listening. Please search Arsenal Bangalore on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and follow our official handles for all the updates.